Hi everyone, and welcome to Filmmaking Life podcast.
What is going on, filmmakers? I'm your host, Nick, and welcome to 2022, a year full of changes. I'm really excited to start this new year, new chapter, and new freaking exciting podcast session with you guys, sharing such inspiring stories, but not just. So in today's episode, I want to start this year with a friend that I shot a lot of epic moments last year in Dubai. We did some crazy epic projects together. We shared a hotel together. We played a PS5 together. And bringing him on board will be such an epic and inspiring to all of you guys through his unique story, like he just did with me. His name is Remy, based from New York. He's a professional FPV pilot. What is special about Remy, besides being a freaking talented pilot, is that his story inspired me more than anyone else. He started less than 2 years ago with FPV, and now he's traveling around the world working with one of the world's biggest dream companies like Beautiful Destination, and he's winning all the competition. Like, he just recently won Airwood's Drone of the Year. What's up, Remy? What is going on? Where are you right now in the world?
Yo, what's up, Nick? Right now I'm in Thailand. Currently, I'll be here for about a month.
Oh, I'm so envious. I wish I could be there. Here in Italy, it's freaking cold.
Yeah. I escaped the cold in New York for sure. It's beautiful here right now.
Enjoy it. It's gorgeous. Remy, thanks for having us today on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you about your experiences and hopefully to get inspired some new filmmakers and FPV pilots and drone pilots.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on, man. This is definitely an honor. I really appreciate it, man.
By the way, congratulations on winning the Airvots Drone of the Year. That was sick. That was deserved.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, it was weird because, like, you're going against a bunch of guys that are really, really known in the community. Johnny FPV, Shaggy FPV, Time Lab Pro, just the list goes on. And for you to, like, stand out of those amazing pilots as well, it's definitely a great feeling.
100%. I agree. I was actually voting for you, and I saw who else is on the contest. I was like, whoa, there's Johnny. There's so many of them that I used to follow. I'm still following, but I used to, you know, see a lot of epic content. I was like, there's Remy. Let's vote for Remy. and then when I heard you won, I was like, fuck yeah. I don't know if I can say that, but
yeah, man. That's what my reaction was too. Like, I woke up in Thailand at 7 a.m. We're 12 hours ahead or 13 hours ahead of Minnesota, where AirViews is headquarters. And I literally woke up to the great news. Like, people were texting me for 2 hours, but I woke up 2 hours later after it got announced. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? I was like, what's going on? And then, like, yeah, it was just such a, and it's just the amazing part of it is just the support of everyone that voted. It's insane, like, that everyone took their time out to actually vote. And it's pretty cool to see that that type of support is behind me in case I ever need it. So definitely that's the best part of all of it, you know,
which is, I think it's priceless, the support behind.
Yeah.
So Remy, today I want to talk to you about a lot of interesting stuff that actually personally inspired me from you. You're such a hard worker and a hustler. And I want to know from you, like, how FPV actually changed your life since you just started with.
Yeah. So, I mean, I always felt like when I saw FPV for the first time, I always thought, like, this is the game changer. This is something that I need to get into. And that was, like, maybe 4 to 6 months before I actually started. And then once I started and I started to see how hard it was, I was like, wow, this is, like, something that's challenging as well. So it's great for you as a person. Then once I got the hang of it, I was like, oh, man, I started to feel the things I can actually do and wanted to do. And from there, like, literally within months, like less than 6 months, that's when, like, everything changed for me, meeting Tom Jauncey and being able to go on projects with him and actually start to fully fly FPV in a cinematic way, that would be like posted, you know, short films everywhere. So I don't know. It just it's changed everything for me. It's allowed me to do what I manifested years ago, which was to travel and fly drones. And FPV has allowed me to do that. That's so sick. It's changed everything.
Why just a few times, not even years? Can you share with us, like, what, when is the exact moment when you decided, or what is the first time you saw FPV thing and you said, I want to do those?
Yeah, I think it was definitely Johnny FPV, because he was the one that was probably the most commercial at that time in terms of being viral on Instagram. And I think it was the Yes Theory Guatemala one, when he's flying with the monkeys and the tigers. And he had one specific shot that I never forget. It's the one that this guy was playing soccer and he got so close to him and worked around him that I was like, yes, this is the dynamic shots I want to get. But what took me over the top, because at that point I didn't know really how to get into it, but what took me over the top was seeing him dive the Burj Khalifa. I think that video came out like in January of 2020. Once I saw that, I was like, this is exactly what I want to be doing, stuff like this. So then that's when I literally visited Airviews in Minnesota. I went to go see everyone because I knew them for a couple years already. And I just wanted to say hi and hang out over there. And Fluxy, who's a racer, was there as well. And there was a couple of other FPV pilots and we started talking about it. So I was just getting more inspired. And they put me on to some people that lived around me in Queens, New York, actually. And these are the guys that actually brought me into the hobby, like really, really strong with all the knowledge that they had for the last couple years. And they helped me like learn how to build, learn how to fix, learn how to troubleshoot, understanding what, you know, all the components do and how I can use that to my advantage and then customize it the way I want to customize it. So once that happened, I mean, it was love at first sight.
I felt that. What is the specific challenge that you had, let's say, about either flying or was knowing about the components? Because when you were with me in Dubai, I remember in our room, there was a lot of stuff. I was like, what the hell? I thought it was just a drone, like a DJI and a small box, and then you just fly it, charge it and fly it. But then when I saw how many components are in for flying an FPV, I was like, dude, I need to know more about it. I was curious. What was for you the specific challenge? Was it learning to fly, or was it specifically knowing all the parts?
Yeah, I think initially I thought the flying would be the hard part in a sense, but that's something that I felt like I was really confident with from the beginning. Like I started hovering the aircraft for like a week or two just to get a feel. And then I started flying like within 2 weeks of that. Like I was just like, let's just send it. But I think the most challenging part through the time was understanding why things went wrong, because FPV, so many moving parts are a part of that. But once you understand where everything is, then you're able to actually troubleshoot, like, okay, hey, a wire came off here, or a flight controller blew up, or the ESC is not working, or I got to change the rates, I got to change the PIDs. Like, so there's just so many moving parts that was the real challenge, to start to build the knowledge and to keep that stored in your brain so that when you aren't with people that can actually help you in the moment, you know exactly how to troubleshoot these things, you know? So obviously flying, you got to practice at the end of the day. Like you need to go out there and understand what you're doing wrong, take that footage and then correct it. Obviously there's situations where you're new to flying it, so it's going to always be something new, but I think, you know, flying is a challenge itself, but then understanding like the components is like a whole other challenge, because there's so many things that can go wrong, and just understanding from how to, you know, do things within your goggle and your remote and all these things put together. That's what really makes a complete FPV pilot, you know?
How long it took to you to learn, or you're still like in the process?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's always a learning process, because new things come out, you know, like the Cinelifter game right now, there's just learning new frames and motors and stuff. But I think I started getting really comfortable probably about I built my first drone within the first 2 months. And then I think when I felt really comfortable was... Yeah, and in the first 2 months, I built my own drone. Yeah, I had my own drone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because at first they helped me build my first one. And they said, hey, from here, like, we're not building you anything else. You need to learn. So it was like they threw me into the fire, but it was actually the best thing to do, you know? But I felt comfortable probably, like... Flying, I felt comfortable within 2 to 3 months, but then learning everything around 6 months, I was really understanding everything fully. Because, you know, I started off with analog. So analog is like the old school TVs, you know, with like the static. And then you have DJI, which is like clear HD 4K, you know, just in comparison to TVs. And, so I started off with analog, and that has like a bunch of different components compared to DJI in a sense. Nothing crazy different because they're all like similar, but there was issues with that because I had to fly a certain type of flight controller when I first started, and then I switched over. And yeah, so I would say like right when I started working with Tom in September of 2020, that's pretty much when I started feeling really confident about everything put together. But there's still times, I can't lie, there's still times where it's very frustrating. I'm dealing with it right now in Thailand. A couple things are going wrong, but, you know, there's a lot of information out there now for FPV, so you just got to look for it.
Wow, Remy, that was cool to hear, actually. I didn't really know what it takes until I heard about all the stuff that you had to, like, build up. But at what point do you think you were, like... ready to fly? Like how long it took to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I started feeling super confident was probably month two after a lot of practice. Great thing about New York City is that they have a lot of parks and trees and stuff, so a lot of gaps for us to hone down the skills, like to understand like how to get through stuff, how to work around, how to orbit things. So, you know, you just go through the practice runs. And then after like 2 months, I started really going out there and going to locations to shoot, diving buildings, going to nature spots, drifting, chasing drifting cars, you know? Yeah. So I started off freestyle pretty much, not cinematic, like, but a really chill freestyle so that I can understand how to get certain types of shots with FPV as well.
For those who doesn't really understand FPV, like, what is the difference between freestyle and cinematic?
Freestyle is pretty much if you watch, like, for example, there's some... like in football, right? Like you have guys that are out there playing professional football in the Champions League or whatever it is, right? Then you have guys that are in the streets doing tricks and stuff. It doesn't get as much play like in a viral sense because it's not something that everybody sees, but everybody can watch TV and watch Ronaldo, but then the guy in the street doing the crazy tricks, which he's amazing as well, not a lot of people are seeing that. So it's the same concept. Is freestyle is where you go to a place and you do anything you want. You're free to do whatever you want, tricks, certain types of flow with the drone. You know, you send that battery out, and then when you come back, you have an entire video of you just freestyling, having fun. Now, cinematic is the total opposite. It's like, let's say you go to the same park. Now you're going to create a line through that park that's going to be pretty super chill. Like, I mean, you can go fast, but like you're going through gaps at a straight pace. You know, you're keeping your throttle management really nice, going through stuff. You're creating like a sequence, nice and smooth. Freestyle is like just whatever your mind comes with and your skill comes with.
Oh, okay.
You can do.
That was a good analogy. But when did you switch from freestyle to more on a cinematic that you posting all on social media?
Right. So before I even started FPV, I knew what I wanted to be, and that was cinematic.
Okay.
But the guys I was with, they said, hey, like, freestyle is a very important part of FPV because it's pretty much where it started in a sense, you know. Cinematic didn't really come until later, but people still wanted to do tricks, power loops, and, you know, rolls and everything. So I switched over. I mean, I was always switching over because when I would go to a park, I would always try to create a line and then I would do a flight where I do some tricks. But the problem with freestyle is that when you crash, most likely you're breaking something because you're challenging yourself, and then that costs money. So you're going to be repairing a lot of stuff. So that's why freestyle doesn't really last, wouldn't really last in the game as long, because you're going to constantly break things and it doesn't make you any money because people are not looking for freestyle. They're looking for cinematic pilots now, you know.
But the cool thing about FPV is actually when you crash it, then you can just replace that part. You don't need to buy a whole new drone, right?
Yeah, well, it depends. If you if you crash pretty hard, you might be replacing almost all of it. But yeah, I mean, most of the time, you know, you're going to break an arm or a motor is going to be super bent or not working at all. You know, cameras break. Yeah, anything can happen. Propellers definitely all the time get bent or break and you have to replace them. But those are really, that's like a super cheap thing to buy. They're only like $3, you know, a pack.
Yeah, that makes totally sense. I remember one of these days in Dubai that we were shooting for a hotel and you wanted to do this crazy line through, what was it, bungalows? Not really bungalows, but it was something like that. Do you remember that? And then you crashed into water. I was like, off.
Oh, yes.
This drone is dead. I was literally like, how do I tell Remy this drone is dead? But then you, no, it's not dead. It's alive. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, no, I remember that. It was a stupid curtain that was there. The wind like blew it into my propeller. It got caught in it and it knocked me to like a foot of water. So yeah, I mean, the drones are, we build them waterproof.
A beginner mistake, right?
What, by me?
Yeah.
The thing is, I did it like 5 times before that. It was just, you know, a bad luck situation. Like the curtain just literally got caught in the propeller. That was it. It happens, you know, everybody crashes.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Everybody crashes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just joking with you.
I know.
So you basically, it took you a few months, not a lot of months, just a few of them to get like on the ground and flying confidently. Obviously, it's a learn lesson curve, but then you ended up working with one of the biggest and the most desirable companies from BD, right? Beautiful Destinations. So how did you end up even there?
I mean, it's crazy because life takes you and puts you in place with people that you never know what, like they might help you down the line or you might help them down the line with something that actually like changes their whole trajectory on life. You know, it could just take them one way. So how it really happened was I
like this one.
Yeah, because like anything good that's happened to me has been because of people that I've networked with, that I've had a bond with, and they've passed me on to something or they've recommended something and then it took me a whole different way. So with this specific situation, Joe Cavallini, who's like one of the best directors in New York City, we worked on something for Suit Supply back in June of 2020. And he said, hey, can you get shots of Times Square, which is really illegal? This was now where it was. Yeah. So I like illegal, you know, no offense.
Guys, but who's listening
in the safest way? Yeah, don't do this stuff. I do it in the safest way. I'm one of the safest pilots in the world. Trust me.
With the curtains.
Yeah. He literally was like, hey, man, I need drone shots of Times Square. So I was like, all right, I think I got a way to do this. I'm going to have to just send it over there. And the cool thing about this was that it was still the pandemic. So it was very dead. Like the streets were dead. So it was the most safest time to do it in a sense. But I had a friend who was managing a hotel at one point and I had access to a rooftop. So that rooftop was allowed me to send my Mavic to Times Square because it was only like 5 blocks away. And this was the safest and most like drone ninja way for me to do this. But I send it for 10 minutes and the SWAT team shows up downstairs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So like at that point, I'm like, okay, save the footage. If they say anything, they could take your drone, but make sure you got the footage for Joe, you know? So I wind up like putting the SD card in my sock, going downstairs, and they weren't there though. They weren't there. So I think from that point, like me and Joe created a bond or something, because it wasn't an easy task, but for 10 minutes I got the shots that we needed, and they're pretty epic. And from that point on, we stayed in contact, and we actually did another project with Gucci at some point. But so fast forward 3 months later, I'm in California. I actually lose one of my drones because an antenna wasn't on my goggles and I lost feed. So I was pretty pissed off that day. Then Joe sends me a story, which was Tom Jauncey's story. And it says, hey guys, I'm looking for an FPV pilot for this weekend. If you know anyone, or if you're a pilot, definitely hit me up. So Joe had passed the information that he should be looking into working with me. And then I messaged Tom. We went back and forth with a couple of voice notes. He asked me what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm in California, but if you need me for anything, I'll fly back the next day. So that's what I did. I flew back to New York the following day. And then I had a meeting with Tom, I think that same night. And we spoke about what we were going to be doing. And the first thing that we were doing was the Hero 9 release for Autorama, which is one of the biggest stores in New York City for cameras. So we were going to be doing a Spider-Man shoot with the Hero 9. So that's how that all came together. I worked with Joe. Joe recommended me to Tom. Me and Tom basically got cool really quick. Went to go see him. And then from Spider-Man, we did Tenet, the reverse film, and Mario Kart as well within those 3 months of being in New York City together. And then I got my first BD job from that.
From this speech, I would guess everyone else who's listening that you have to be networking with people. You never know who is going to help you in the future. Not just help you, but you never know when do you get inspired from anyone else. And then the second one, take risks, do some illegal stuff. I wouldn't recommend that, obviously, but like do some risky shot that obviously are legal, but do it just because you're gonna stand out from anyone else.
Yeah, you gotta challenge yourself. You know, when you're working with certain people, the more you stand out with the situation, for example, like flying Times Square, getting the footage for him, like these are things that people are going to appreciate because they see that, you know, you have some type of hunger, some type of drive. So it's definitely important. Like you said, networking is huge. This is the only way that I've been able to come to the point where I'm at right now is through networking, meeting people like you, meeting people like Joe, like Tom. Like it just opens up so many other things. And, you know, just keep it positive at the end of the day. You know, when you work with people and everything, just keep a positive mindset and people are going to want to be around you.
I completely agree with you. I would love to ask you something that is completely out of the box. What do you think, why do you think you are, let's say you are a winner? Why do you think you are your art, your skills stand out among many thousands, millions of FPV pilots in such a short amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I came into FPV wasn't as traditional as most people. Like, no lie, like a lot of people bow down to certain people, you know, like obviously Johnny's like such an inspiration, the way his style of shooting. But I'm not trying to be Johnny FPV. I'm trying to be Remy, you know, with inspiration from people, but I still want to carve my own lane. And I think that's why I was able to kind of carve my way into FPV a little differently than people, because I'm not bowing down to anybody. I'm respecting everybody. Like with the Juice, for example, the drone video of the year, the Juice, like nobody's done that in FPV yet. And I saw that lane for that. So I just want to continue to create lanes for FPV through the social aspect and everything. I'm always trying to do something that's a little different than everybody, you know? So I think that's what makes it important. And I come from a place, from New York City, where there is a lot of pilots there, but for the people that are around me to see drones in a different way, like, was just an eye opener for everybody. Like, oh, I didn't know drones could do this. So I was creating, another aspect for people to how to look at life in a sense, you know, from a different aerial perspective. So it's important, you know, to know where you come from, and the people that support that and see and get inspired by that as well is such a big key for me to like create that lane as well.
I love that. I love at the beginning what you just said. I want to create a Remy FPV, not everyone else, but I get inspired from everyone else. I love that. I should like highlight that. Post social media. And what is your favorite project that you did, and what do you think were the biggest challenges there?
Oh man, that's a hard question.
Pick two of them.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, some of the most fun I've had was actually, you know, with Tom. Like, I think I really like the Tenet because I've never seen FPV done that in a cinematic way like that. That looks like a camera's actually panning. It doesn't have such dynamic shots where I'm doing something so crazy, but the tracking of it feels like a crane, you know, was doing it. And I think that was like one of the coolest things I've done in terms of FPV. And other projects, I mean, let's think it through. Okay, so the amusement park, Fantasia Land. That was crazy because it's like I was thinking about flying roller coasters from the beginning, because in New York we have something called Coney Island and it was shut down. So we had a couple of coasters we can chase for fun, but not an actual roller coaster going at the same time. So Fantasia Land, hands down, was like one of my favorite projects because the client was super cool. And at the same time, I have freedom to like chase roller coasters and go all over the park and shoot FPV. So nobody's really had that access to do something like that.
Yeah, know? I mean, I can just imagine myself flying, chasing a roller coaster. That could be freaking epic. And I cannot imagine like how hard.
The fastest one in Europe, too.
The fastest one in Europe. Like, and then you have to chase it with the people in. That's just nuts. That's crazy. And so one of the things that I really, really, really appreciated about you flying FPV is just you changed the way FPV is done, which means you created basically a new era of FPV, which is iPhone FPV, which I was like, this is freaking genius. Why nobody would thought about it? And the footage is already there. Okay, you can compare that with cinema cameras, but you just opened a new era for everybody. Was inspiring,
right?
So like how did you get there?
So the story behind this, for the record, for everybody knows out there, when I started working with Tom is all about social content, you know what I'm saying? Like that's his bread and butter. So at some point within the first month of us working together, we were going to a park to shoot skateboards. So he said, yo, is there any way we can get iPhone vertical done? And I said, anything's possible. So that's when I went to my drone genius, Juan, who's El Cui FPV. He's my mentor, everything. He's taught me pretty much everything I know. I asked him, because he 3D prints. I asked him, can you get a vertical mount done for us? So he figured it out. He made the first iPhone vertical mount ever for us. So from there, like from Tom's inspiration to thinking about that to Juan actually making the first vertical iPhone FPV, and then me being the first FPV pilot to ever fly iPhone vertical. Once I saw that, I was like, oh man, I gotta master this in a sense. So we started with the 11 Pro, then we went to the 12 Pro Max, and then now I'm on the 13 Mini at this point. But the evolution of that was like a lot of trial and error understanding, because iPhone FPV is a whole different ball game. Like you're dealing with when you're in a windy situation, it doesn't fly the same. Like you have to understand like the mounting and like we use zip ties and stuff. Obviously, at some point we're going to create something much easier for everyone. But yeah, man, that's the evolution of it. And I just kept practicing and practicing iPhone FPV. Obviously, Tom was pushing that as well all the time because social content is so important. And once I started flying the iPhone Mini, the 12 Mini first and then the 13 Mini, that's when I was like, wow, I can do whatever I want now with this, you know? And it was beautiful to see that. And I use it to this day, like everywhere I go. And you, as you've seen, it's so important.
You mastered. Yeah.
Yeah. I can say it for real. Like if I mastered anything FPV, it's iPhone FPV for sure. Like everybody could fly GoPro, but I don't think everybody could fly iPhone on the drone.
I dare you do that.
Exactly. Go buy $1,000 iPhone and send it and see if you're not nervous at first to send
it. The funny thing is actually the phone costs more than drone itself.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The drone's about $600 to build and the phone is $1,000. Yeah. You gotta see some of the sick iPhone FPV I got today, man. Oh, the big man. Buddha out here. I gotta post it. It's crazy.
Share with me later on. But getting back to the podcast. Where do you see so this new era of FPV evolving to?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a question I think about because I want to stay ahead of the game as well. You know, I want to continue to do this. So right now, the biggest thing for me is the center lifter game. Big center rigs, I think, is the future. Being able to master that, or for them to create easier ways to get that done, in a sense, in a smaller version as well. I think that's the future of it because every production company is using FPV now. And I think when you're doing productions, a GoPro is not going to always cut it, to be honest. I mean, the GoPro Hero 10 is amazing, but it's not a Blackmagic. It's not a Komodo in a sense, you know? So people are looking for that cinema grade content for campaigns, not necessarily social, but it's important that they have that cinema grade match what they're shooting on the ground as well. So I think right now that's the new era FPV over the next year or two. And then I guess if we speak again about this, I'll tell you in a year or two what the next era is because it's constantly changing. But yeah, man, I mean, I just won the money shot through the drone video of the year, the new money shot. So I'm ready to go with center lifters. I really want to get into that much more. But that's the only way I see it going right now.
I'm excited to see you flying that big boy. That was freaking big. But I'm really happy that in this industry that are not necessarily very fast evolving. I love to see how, for example, latest Netflix film that Johnny FPV shot it into was like the first shot was with FPV. I was like, okay, this is very good that the industry, the Hollywood and everyone else is opening up to this new year.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it sticks around. I hope it's not something that's temporary where everybody's kind of using FPV and it gets oversaturated and boom, not anymore. But I don't really see that happening because you can't do certain things without FPV. And I think Red Notice was a beautiful thing for it to jumpstart everything. I mean, the whole FPV community was jaw dropped. And then also Vanover is doing the movie Ambulance, like his company was doing all the FPV shots. So it's definitely being used now a lot. And that's where I want to get to, in a sense. I want to be in the Hollywood scene as well at some point with these cine lifters because, like I said, at some point people are going to be laughing at the GoPro. Like, oh, you fly GoPro, okay, that's cool, but like fly a Blackmagic or a Komodo. That's real confidence right there, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel that. So whenever everything gets broaded too much, people learning it, that's where you have to be standing out with a certain skills and specific art of doing that. Because that's where, like a filmmaking, right? The B-rolls era, the now with the iPhone videography and everything, just stand out from the crowd and do what everyone else can do. So I think that was a good message to share with.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I said, I always wanted to create my own lane in a sense. And obviously through working with other people and with Tom, like it's helped drive that in a different direction, which is with iPhone FPV in a sense. And it feels good to say you're the first one to ever do something or to actually be, because people are starting to catch on to it. They ask me a lot of questions about it. And for everyone out there, I will be putting most likely a YouTube video on how to actually fly FPV as safely as possible, because there's a few things that can go wrong with that. And the settings to use and all that, I'll put that out there at some point. And I will give the iPhone mount out there as well, because that's something that I get asked a lot as well. So I want to give back to the community something as well too, you know?
Hell yeah, count on me for that. I would love to help you out. Helping out a lot of creators out there.
Definitely.
Getting back to the early question of the podcast, I forgot to ask you, which I were personally interested, like, who inspired you the most? Like, just to be like the best, the most creative and the unique artist.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just one person or people in a sense. Because, I get inspired by people. You know, I love to see people challenge things. I'm like, wow, that was really different, you know? But I think what inspires me the most is just life in general. Like being able to be specifically here in Thailand right now, right? After a couple of years, I haven't been here. And just seeing the way life flows and meeting people that like you might not ever see again. Like these are things that inspire me more than anything else. Like being able to go somewhere and watch a sunrise in a beautiful location and start to get ideas. I think these are the things that inspire me more than anything. And obviously film as well. Like I love to watch films that make me feel like I'm in a director's seat. Like, wow, this director just took it. So like Quentin Tarantino always does that for me. The new Matrix, I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I felt like it was the most important film of this generation and the next. And whoever wants to debate me on that, let's talk about it. Cause I will explain to you that movie inside and out. And you,
I didn't like it. We'll talk about that. Maybe
we'll definitely talk about it, but it was all mind games. And I like that. So those are the things that inspire me, to be honest. Like, of course, there's people out there that are always like for example, you're so good in your field as well, that I've been inspired by you at some point, like working with you on social content. You taught me a few things, you know. You would see me doing something wrong and you're like, no, this is the way you're supposed to do it. Not like in a very like mean way, but like in the way like, hey, bro, like I'm helping you out. You know, for example, with the apps and all these little things that you know about being in the film community so long. So there's always inspiration coming in from friends different, and people as well.
Different sources, let's say.
Right. But the main source is always yourself. So you always have to like figure out like what's the inspiration coming into you at the moment you're alone as well. Not just around people, but the moment you're alone as well is important.
Yeah, I agree. It's like I want to beat myself no matter where at the point I am.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Getting back to like physical reality, what are the challenges that people doesn't understand in FPV? Like, for example, I'll just name one, but I'm sure you have a lot of them, are like the licensing. Like if you want to dive down the Burj Khalifa, you just can't do that. Like, hey, I'm just going to dive it. So I want to know from you, like, what are the challenges that people doesn't understand that want to know about just flying FPV?
Yeah, I think there's a few things with that. For example, you know, I lived in Dubai last year for a year, basically, and I couldn't do a lot of projects because of licensing. And every country has its own set of rules. And it's constantly changing because drones are changing, you know. So FPV is like so new that a lot of countries don't even know what it is when they see it. So the challenges of FPV is travel, one, because you have batteries called LiPos, and a lot of airports see that as like a threat, or like, I don't want to say bomb, but they when it goes through the scanners, it doesn't scan normal. So they always stop me for that. And I have to explain, and they might bring the captain over or whoever's in charge. And then I have to talk to them. And if they know what it is, they let me go very fast. If they don't, then it goes through a whole process. And so that's one challenge for me for sure is LiPos, because I usually carry between 10 and 20 of them on a trip.
You can basically light up an airplane.
Yeah, so it gets a little confusing with that. You know, understanding countries' laws as well can be a challenge. Picking your spots where to fly. Then all natural elements, winds, understanding terrain, where you place yourself when you fly. These are all things you need to think about. So like you can look up a location all you want. A client could be like, this is our location, but if they don't put you in the right position to get that done, like it's going to be tough because you can lose your video feed. You can lose RSSI, which means your drone's falling out the sky. So there's always a lot of like preparation in FPV. Obviously you get used to it. You're just like, okay, plug in, go, confident. But you know, in your mind before you go to a shoot or when you're traveling, these are all things you have to think about. Like, okay, I'm going to get stopped at security, so I got to show up a little early to the flight. You know, I got to find a way to make sure all my gear gets onto the plane, like on me as a carry-on, because you can't lose anything. You know, airlines misplace bags as well. Oh, there's so many like little things here and there, you know. Obviously, there's so many pilots that do this all the time that it becomes a habit. But there's many challenges to FPV that I think when you're shooting with a client as well, like understanding what they want and how to get that shot as well, it could be a challenge, you know.
Yeah, the reason why I asked you this question, because I think there's a lot of knowledge besides just knowing how to fly a drone operator FPV. Drone, but it's just a lot of knowledge about a lot of stuff that people doesn't really understand it. Like you said, you need to know like what is the weather look like. It's just, oh, it's sunny, I can fly, but then maybe it gets wind and then you know that. So Remy, the last question but not the least one that I really want to know, that I think everybody wants to know, is like, what would be your best advice for everybody who wants to jump into this, let's say, profession?
Yeah, I mean, I would say get a remote, probably see how you feel in a simulator. I didn't start with simulator, so I can't really say that's the best advice because I like to fly. But the most important thing is learn FPV in and out, like really learn how to build, learn the components so you can go ahead and fix yourself. You don't have to rely on anybody. There's FPV pilots, right? And then there's like, I don't even know what the word is, but like there's people that fly FPV and then there's FPV pilots. Okay, let's put it like that. There's guys that fly FPV. They can get a drone in the air. They can fly a straight line. But something goes wrong, they don't know what to do. And then there's FPV pilots. You go, you know your aircraft inside and out. You know exactly what's wrong at the time it happens. Or you look into it and you're able to fix it right away, get the parts you need. And I think that's the biggest difference. Like, come into it wanting to be an FPV pilot, all around FPV pilot. That's the most respectable thing. Because if somebody asks you something and you don't know what it is, it's just going to make you look like a guy that just flies FPV. So I think that's the most important thing. And a lot of guys out there are just flying FPV. Like, no, they're doing great work. But like I said, if you can become an all-around person, then you're on the right path at the end of the day, no matter if you wanted to keep it as a hobby or as a profession. I think that's the most important thing, to be honest.
I like that. So what would be a number one advice, besides what you just said, obviously, what would be a number one advice that you wish you know when you started
out? Yeah, that's a good question. If I had to look back at myself starting it and now... wow, this is a tough one, man. This is really tough.
We're getting deep. And we're getting deep.
I know. This is a tough question.
Don't worry, take your time. We can cut it later.
Yeah. I think
Don't buy presets. I'm kidding because I'm selling them, so I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So what is the one thing that you wish you learned earlier?
Yeah, it's tough because I think the pace that you go at is the pace that like is the universe wants you to have, in a sense. But if I had to really fast forward and see, like, it's mainly just knowing that things are going to go wrong and that you should always keep that confidence no matter what. Not that I don't have it, because like a bunch of things have happened, crashes and situations, you know, and I'm always like on to the next. But I think understanding that FPV, a lot of things are going to happen. So just be ready for that. Pretty much that's it, because things are always going wrong.
I like that, because so many people can interpret it differently based on their experience. And like, let's say FPV is like the journey is like a roller coaster. It gets ups, gets down, crashes, hopefully not, but roller coaster. But, you know, that's what it is. And if you don't put yourself out, even in a wrong way, it doesn't matter if it's good in a bad way, but if you don't put yourself out, you just gonna miss the train.
For example, the best perspective right now of this is the morning I won drone video of the year, an hour later, something blew up on my drone.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's like, I only have a certain amount of drones.
I thought you were celebrating.
I was until that happened, and now I have to switch off and go and, okay, I got to buy a part. I'm going to have to switch it out, fix it. My drone charger blew up the first day I was here because I didn't change the voltage. I had to go on Lazada, which is like the Amazon here in Thailand, and buy two new chargers because mine was able to charge four. Now I'm only able to charge two. So like all these things are going to continue to happen. This drone right here is not even syncing to my remote. So it's like, get ready, people. If you're starting FPV, just get ready. I excuse my language. Shit's going to happen. That's it.
I'll put that in explicit. Don't worry. Yeah. Remy, thank you so much for sharing this journey that you've been through. And I really love how you like manage all the roller coaster life journey that you went with. And I hope everyone who's listening that they can get inspired and say one day, hey, Nick, or hey, Remy, I started FPV. I'm here with you now working just because I listened to that podcast and I got inspired by you. That will be freaking gold for us as well.
Yeah, for sure,
so,
man.
So thank you, Remy, for sharing all this.
Yeah, definitely.
And guys, shout out to Remy for sharing those priceless thoughts. And make sure to follow him on IG, YouTube, Remy FPV. Super simple. I'm sure you will find out. And Remy, thanks again. And see you on the next one, buddy.
All right, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was great.
See you somewhere else in the world, right?
Yeah, very soon, man. We got to plan something, for
you
sure.
You should come to Italy, by the way.
Oh, man. I want to, for sure. Hell yeah. I'll go to Italy anytime, man.
Okay, man. Stay safe. And we'll chat in the next podcast. Ciao. Okay, guys, if you arrived until here, then you're a legend. Thank you for listening the whole today's podcast. Don't forget to share your thoughts on our DMs for who inspired you the most. And see you soon with another epic episode. Peace.